out of town, so that means when you raise your hands, you need to raise both of them, you know. And when you shout, you need to shout twice as loud. When you pray, you need to pray twice as long. And because we need you to take up the slack that we've got here today. This weekend before Thanksgiving and the weekend after is always a skimpy weekend. So, and then when they take up the offering, you need to give twice as much. No, I'm not. Just give as much as you can. Anyway, I appreciated our fall festival yesterday. Enjoyed the fellowship and the good food. And let's give a hand to all those that worked and labored. Sister Lisa, I can't remember these folks' names. Y'all help me again. What is it? Madison, Chase, I remember that. Who? Cora, Lakia. All right. Well, we're glad to have you back. Lord bless you. They was even in Bible study. They're beating some of you. They was even in Bible study. So, anyway, we're glad to have them with us here today. It's good to have Sister Dolores back. She's been under the weather, and I'm not sure she's up above it yet, but she's here. That counts, you know, when you're on the rebound. Well, everything counts. So let's just reach out and worship the Lord here today. And I want to mention Sister Street again. We always love having Sister Street, of course, I don't know. We're trying to keep her permanent. We hope that works out. Sister Olivia Kitchen, she brought her carcass back in here. She said that sounded to her like an empty, something empty, you know, shell, and she didn't. You know, so, but anyway, I'm sure glad she came back, whatever reason, whatever prompted her. And then our newest saint, Sister Hannah. Stand up, Sister Hannah, so everybody can see what a pretty girl Brother Caleb married. Stand up. Look at her. I'm embarrassing her. Anyway, she's a newlywed, you know. Her and Caleb both are still smiling. Look at him up there. Didn't even know he had a bottom row of teeth till he met her. Anyway. Brother Caleb has made a really great turnaround in his life over the last several years. And then met Sister Hannah, and she's, I think, just what he needed. And she thinks he's just what she needed. And I think she's probably right. So, anyway, we're just glad to have him. And she was holding, what's her name? Bridget? Is that right, Bridget? Where is she? There she is back there. Look at her. Anyway, Hannah was holding her and making goo-goo eyes at her and everything yesterday, and I told her not to get any ideas. But then I thought about it, and I said, just go ahead and get ideas. We need the church to grow anyway. So Caleb, I don't think, is in, you know, he's probably not with me on that yet. But really, honestly, they probably are to wait a while, you know. But anyway, let's just worship God today and let him have his way. And appreciate all of you that are not out of town today. If all of you went out of town, I'd have had a hard time trying to have service here by myself. So I'm glad for those of you that made it. Thank you.
Still water, I'll rule and reign. we're in the house of God today, wanting God to lead us, and some of that's up to us, you know, to put our trust in Him. And I'm just thinking, you know, Brother Smith was telling us this morning in Bible study about the early church and the operation that they had, and we're embracing that to the point that we feel like God's going to have people in this day that we're living in that will that this restored church that will be operated just like that. And I was just thinking, I said, God, help me that I will not, you know, I don't want to hinder, you know, be a hindrance to what God is doing. For God forbid, you know, that I not do what I can do. You know, I know this largely up to God and how He go about restoring the church and how He deal with people in His time frame. You know, God has time, you know, we look at it and we know we can see signs and we know that, you know, everybody say, you know, that this is the end time. And it's I've heard it. I've been in this group of people almost 40 years and I've heard it the whole time. You know, this is the end time, and you can see the sign. You know, I can get around older folks, you know. Now it's the old folks that can almost include me. But anyway, they'll say, well, all the earthquakes in divers places. You know, the Bible talks about those kind of things. But God has His time, you know. And I know we see a lot of things, you know. Jesus told His disciples, you know, when you see this start happening, when you see this, you know that the time is near. And, you know, we like to measure it in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, however long. Well, you know, we put a time on it, a stamp of a time frame, you know, how many years. But God does have His time. But I just say, God, help me to do what I can do, you know. Begin to trust God in what I know to do, you know, what God has given me. Some things I know to do. You know, I don't have to guess about it. I don't have to wonder. I know to do this. I know to be faithful. You know, I know that that's some things is out of my control. I have no control of it. But there are things I do have control of. And those are the things that I'm talking about, you know, that, Lord, help me to not, I don't know if you want to use the word, not measure up, you know, as much as to what God is showing us. You know, He has shown us a lot of things, and He's given us a lot of things. And I can fail to be appreciative of God's blessings and God's, I know I can, those are areas that I can fail in if I'm not careful. I can fail to have a thankfulness in my heart and to have a gratitude for what God is doing. You know, just to be grateful, just be thankful and have, and appreciate God. Lift Him up. You know, I listen, Brother Smith and talk about, you know, the people over in the Dominican Republic, how they come into a service and they begin to praise God and just begin to have a thankfulness in their heart, you know, just to have an opportunity, you know, to hear what we've heard, these messages, and to be able just to say, Lord, I'm hearing this, Lord. I'm hearing this, Lord, and I'm just so thankful. You know, to have a thankfulness in your heart to hear this. You know, there's people just drive by this street here. They don't understand what we understand. And, you know, I cannot even be thankful for that. I cannot even appreciate God for allowing me to. I don't feel like I just stumble in here. I really don't. I may have in a sense, but I believe the Lord has helped me to see what He is doing in a sense. You know, I mean, I don't have the total picture, but I can see God working with people. And even the time thing, you know, when I began to see God's time, that, you know, I've seen, you know, people make sketches and illustration on time and calculations and all that. That's all good, look good on paper, but God is got His time, you know. And sometimes some things, you know, we, even if we was in a restored church and if we had all of the miracles working, you know, if I don't have my heart right, you know, even if I was in Paul's church, whoever church it is, with all the, like Brother Smith, where he can just, the shadow of the apostles walk by and they heal me, You know, if my heart's not right, if I'm not appreciating what God is doing, no matter what church I'm in, no matter how much God's power is operating in that church, if my heart's not in this right place, if it's not right with God, if I don't begin to let my heart embrace, you know, God in such a way that you know, just where I'm at now, you know, I can appreciate God for what we got. You know, we're gathered here together. We are trying to understand God and try to look in His Word and try to see what He meant by this when He made these statements. And, you know, begin to, just those things right there helps us, you know, to be able to have our hearts in the right place and to be able to be thinking about God. I don't think about Him every second of the day, but sometimes I have to make myself, you know. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, it's not automatic. You know, this, we were born with a nature that's not going to just automatically get your mind on God. You know, we're born with a nature that can get involved with so many things here in this world and the thoughts and just so many ideas. And then they're making it easy where you got the internet. You know, I was telling my wife, by somebody we were looking at, I said, well, just look it up on the internet. You look it up on the internet, you can find out. You don't have to wonder about somebody in the natural in this world. You can look them up, you know, and find out about who they are, what they did, and whatever, you know. But God, we want to find out about Him. We can't go to the internet and look up God. But you're gonna have to look up Him in a different way. You're not going. You can probably type in the internet God, and you'll get all kind of ideas because those are man's ideas. God didn't put His information out there on the internet where you can just, you know, get out there and. You got a question, you might find a scripture, you might find where it's located, all that, but when we begin to get God's mind and his thoughts, we have to go to God for that. You know, we have to go to Him in prayer, and the means that God has given us to go to Him, we have to go to Him in His way. You know, His ways are not man's ways. You know, we have to begin to contact God in a different way. You know, we have to get our mind on Him and begin to, you know, get our mind off of ourselves. I was just reading about Paul, and Paul was just encouraging people. He'd go to the churches that he started, and he'll go back to them and encourage the people. And he was, you know, we're to live a life of, you know, not for ourselves. That's what I'm pointing. You know, we're not to live for ourselves. We're to live to edify God and edify the church and to build up. You know, that's what we should be doing is not just, I've been blessed, you know, in the natural, but I don't want to just keep, you know, I don't have the idea that God keep blessing me and I just build bigger barns. I don't want to have that idea, but I want to have an idea, what can I do for others? You know, even though I may not be an overcomer totally, but still I can help somebody else, you know, that they may be struggling with something that I'm not struggling with. You know, there are some things that I can do to help somebody else, and that's what I want to kind of get that mindset, is to want to help somebody else. You know, that's what Paul, I was reading his writings, and a lot of times he just tell them, you know, just edify. You know, that's what, you know, him when he was talking about tongues and prophecies, he wasn't really putting down tongues, but he was just telling them what you should be doing is edify. You should be building up. You should be trying to make God, kind of show God to the world. You know, have a life to live to magnify God. You know, that's what I'm getting out of what he's saying. It's not, you know, he wasn't trying to put down tongues. He was just, and he wasn't really just trying to, you know, he was showing that prophecy was better, but still, this is what I want you to do. You know, you need to be edified. That's what I need to be doing, is lifting up Jesus in this world that we live in. And it's, that's what we need to be doing. So I'm so thankful today that we're in a place that we can do that. And we're blessed to be in a country that we still can magnify the Lord and lift up His name and lift up His doings, you know, God's work. And so I'm just thankful today that we have this opportunity to be in the house of God. And to have met here together today to lift Him up and to live for Him. You know, just keep emphasizing that what Brother Smith's saying. We'll get what he said, fearing God, we'll gather together And that scripture he used in Hebrews, you know, that often, that might have been Malachi, as we speak often one to another. And that's what, and I get encouraged. I really do. I mean, because sometimes this, you think things ought to happen differently than what they are happening, and you might think, well, things ought to be moving along better than this. But, you know, that's why we come together and speak often one to another and lift up God, and it's encouraging. I get the greatest encouragement from God's word and hearing His word talked about and explained and showing, you know, what this means, the picture, you know, what Smith was talking about, Joseph's bones, you know, that, you know, it's not so much a geographical location, but God was making a point. He was showing this, and he was showing that this is where I'm working. This is where I'm working. Now, this is the geographical place I'm working. But in this day, God's going to be working what? In our hearts. You know, He's going to be touching hearts. And that's what I want to do. I want to have my heart right with God. And wherever, you know, wherever I end up, but I want to be giving my heart to the Lord and lifting Him up in that way. So anyway, it's good to be here today. And I guess we need to do all today. And then remember, I guess Brother Green, sorry I missed the Harvest Festival yesterday, and we got so busy. I wasn't supposed to have been that busy, but anyway, got a whole day worth of work, and it's supposed to have been just a few hours. But anyway, sometimes it's that way, you know, you think, well, we can get this done here in a few minutes, a few hours, but sometimes it turns into all day. So anyway, that's what happened. But anyway, let's pray for our needs here. We're gathered here, and we always come with needs. You know, God's people. You know, we're people that need Him. I know sometimes, you know, we like to see things, you know, just people out to suffer. You know, you like to see people heal, and I you know, pray that, you know, the healing take place. But sometimes, you know, we have to realize that this some of the suffering we go through may be necessary. You know, I was saying that we was able to go to Paducah back here, going after Caleb's wedding, Caleb and Hannah's wedding. We went to Paducah, and we was going to spend the night there and be in church with them Sunday, and they was going to El Dorado, Illinois, for a church service and for an anniversary service. So we ended up going to, didn't even know it, you know, we was going to spend the night there and go to church with them on Sunday, which we did, but we ended up in El Dorado, Illinois, Saturday night, was in church Sunday at Paducah, and we really had a good service. And so anyway, I'm encouraged, and I want to go on, you know, with God's people. I want to keep going on and keep doing what God is showing us to do, and until He come, you know, you tell God, who the scripture that talks about, until, you know, we have to do what we know to do until Jesus shows up. You know, when He's going to show up. He shows up, you know, in our services sometimes, and we can tell that Jesus showed up, you know, and until He come, you know, that's what happened. Paul was telling, you know, when sometimes he wrote information, he gave advice, and sometime he would say, this is just from my, you know, I don't have anything from the Lord on this, but this is what I advise you to do. And sometimes you have to do that. But then we want to do what we know to do until He gives us more. Until He shows us more. Until His presence is among us. And that's what we encourage that. We embrace that. We want the presence of the Lord. You know, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. There's pleasures forevermore. You know, when His presence is there, and that's, we encourage that. But sometimes He may not be as present as we like for Him to be. But still, we know that we know what we should be doing. We do what we do until He shows up. So anyway, so let's pray here today for God's people. Like I say, I know the Crows. We always pray for them. Okay. Remember Brother Dotson. All right. Michelle. All right.
There, let's see, Noah, all three kids, I think, are sick, and she had to work today, so he stayed home with the children. Hopefully, he said if her better, he'd try to make the night service. And also, Sister Douglas asked that we include Sister Leanna in prayer, for our prayer. And let's see, Sister Sherry's out of town today. Brother Steve Wallace is going back into the hospital for surgery, I believe, and so he's really in a lot of pain, and he needs our prayers. I haven't heard from Brother Fleming. Does anybody know anything about that?
A lot of pain.
Right. Brother Fleming.
Anthony's family. Sister.
Just say.
She's been had some surgery and they need prayer. Brother Mike's sisters, Sister Julie's dad, and then Joshua, her brother. Spiritually, she want they need spiritual help. And but anyway, you know, we just anybody else, any other Sister Cindy. Your mom. All right. Cancer. Just sitting in mom and a friend. Brother Johnson, wife Beth. Remember that. All right. Remember those needs. Families, pray that God will touch him. Brother Matt. Okay. All right. Remember that. Sister Abraham. All right. Sister Abraham. Thompson, Sister Ann. Remember them. All right. Well, Sister Watts.
Yes, Sister yes, Veely.
Sister Veely. Sister Watson. Pray for them. They mentioned her at the meeting.
Praying for Sister Inez.
Yes. And, yes, remember that. Your friend. All right. Well, we got a lot of needs here that's been mentioned here today. And we know, you know, just, you know, it's kind of, it does have an impression on you, make an impression on you. We was, like I said, we was up there in Paducah. And just a prayer request for cancer. I mean, it just, it's almost overwhelming, I put it that way. But we know that it's not overwhelming for God. And that's the thing, you know, if when we get to hearing these things and hearing these requests, it could be feel like it's overwhelming. It feel like, well, God, you know. But let's remember that, you know, God's able to help every need. You know, it doesn't matter really about the situation. That's where I want to look at. I don't get stressed out of it, but I mean, you do get really concerned. And it does concern you, and God's people, families, and different situations. But let's just bring it before God. You know, let's remember that God is not, he's not overwhelmed, okay? He's not bothered by it, okay? So let's bring these things to God. So let's stand and pray and ask God to help his people and to touch them. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, oh God, for having this opportunity, this time. Come before you, Lord. Pray that you help your people, oh Lord. Lord, help our needs that we have amongst us. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Oh, Jesus, we look to you, Lord. We thank you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Oh, God, touch each need, brothers and sisters. Lord, each one. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us to call on you, Lord. Have faith and confidence in you, Lord. Praise your name, O Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh,
God. Mention, I failed to mentioned Sister Ashley, Brother McGowan's little granddaughter. She was sitting down and I couldn't see her over the back pew early. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we're glad to have her, aren't we? She was here yesterday. Appreciate her being here.
Some things I may not know. There are some places I don't go, but I am sure of this one thing. My God is I'd like to just tell you what happened to me. I had a firsthand experience of what Brother Green was talking about Wednesday night, locating the enemy, knowing who he is and where he is. I guess when our soldiers go out to battle, they have to know the location of the enemy, or else they'll be fighting themselves, actually. But I had my doctor's appointment, one day last week. I can't even remember what day it was now. But anyway, I was sitting there, and she came in. They had taken tests to see if I was, if my cancer had spread it. And it was the first doctor that came in. It was a young man, and I talked to him. I don't know why they send the rookies first, but they do. And I talked to him, was as nice as I could be, but I was wanting him to get out of my way. I want my doctor. And but he sat there and he asked me a lot of questions. I answered him as pleasantly as I could. And then my doctor came in and she said, well, I got good news and I got bad news. And she said that the cancer hadn't spread it any at all. It's still located in that just the little area up there that's always been. She said, but we don't have a cure for it. She said, it's incurable. We've given you the highest dosage of what you can have, and we can't give you any more. She said, what you can do is start your treatments all over again. And but when she said, we've done all we can do, there was something inside of me said, this is a marvelous thing. And then there was another voice that said, well, I thought you was touched, but now I know you're crazy. And I'm just listening to this, looking like this. And I said, and I'm thinking, what's going on? Can I be a part of this? Is it three people in there? And I'm thinking, now, what is this, Lord? And then the other little voice said, this is a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing here. They've given you up. They've said that this is, and this is, and then it says, this is what you wanted to hear in the beginning, and when they first announced it, that they've done all that they could do. And then, but this peace, through it all, there was this peace that I had inside. And you know, I can't explain it. I just can't explain the peace. You can't explain God, you know? You just can't explain Him. And I thought, this is a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing that the health system, the medical system has come to an end. They don't have a cure. They say that they don't know what they can do, what else that they can do. This is it. And I kept thinking, this is a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing. And then I got home, and I was thinking, now, Lord, I know you've given me a word. You've given me a word, but which one was it? Which word was yours? And I can't figure it out. Then I was getting ready for work, and I finished getting ready, and I went to my car, and I always turn my radio on and listen to this certain minister. Sometimes in his ministering all over the world, he gives good examples of what he has met with in his ministry. And I've listened to him several times where he has given an example that really touched my soul, and I thought, well, I'll turn to him and see what he has to say. So I turned my radio on, and it wasn't on that station. But then it was on another station, and I thought, well, I got to find him. And one man said, just leave it there. And I left it there at that station, but all of the time thinking that the Lord had a word for me, that he had said a word, and I didn't hear it. I didn't know which one it was. But then this song came on, and it said, let me be who I am for you. And that was my word. May not mean a thing to you, but that was my word. Let me be who I am for you. Okay, then I got to thinking, Lord, who are you? What have you done? Who are you, Lord? Then my mind started thinking, I'm the God of Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I spoke to Abraham, told him to get away from his family. I'm going to lead him to where he know not. Going to give him the earth that he sees
told him to look around. All that your eyes can see, I'm going to give it to you. Hallelujah. Then I kept thinking, I'm the God of Moses. Children of Israel, I spoke to Moses. Told him to lead my people. Woo! And then I kept thinking, Lord, the God of Joshua, spoke to Joshua and said, march around this city 7 times. 7 times and I'll give it to you. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, God. And that wasn't enough. I kept thinking, Gideon had 3,200 in his army. God said, that's too many. Too many for me to get the glory. Hallelujah. Woo! So he narrowed it down to 300. 300 men, oh God, up against I don't know how many, but it was God, hallelujah. He gave them that victory that day. Then that wasn't enough. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Woo! Then that little voice, that faithful little devil, it said, okay, that was back there then. What's he done today? Oh, God. My God is real. Hallelujah. Oh, God. And I thought, well, today let me tell you what he's done for me. I lost my son 2009. Who do you think held me through that? Oh, God. It was my God. Hallelujah. You can't tell me that he is not real. Oh, God. So come what may. The big C cancer, come what may. Hallelujah. Woo! It's not too big for my God. He said it on the throne. He didn't move when they said cancer. He didn't move. Woo! So why should I? I have no control of it. I have no control, so why should I worry? Hallelujah. God's not worried. Hallelujah. My God is real. He's real in my soul. Oh, God. So come what may. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. We come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I praise him today. I'm thankful for where I am. Thankful for what I know. That when this body is laid down, whenever it is, that I can get up with the knowledge. A knowledge that I'm considered because of him. Because of him. Because of the cross. Because of what he did, the price that he paid. He said, I'll go and I'll pay the price. He paid the price for me that I might live. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I live today because of him. I'll live tomorrow because of him. I'll live forever because of him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo.
Times I've questioned certain circumstances, things I could. Thank you. not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. My frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded I have never been forsaken. I've never had to stand a test alone. Oh, and as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting. the fire is getting hard to stand. The enemy is trying to take the victory from me, and I can't fight with just the strength of man. Then my heart cries out to heaven. I feel His love surround me. I know that I can face this world and win. So I am going to trust Him, and He'll be there beside me to walk with me.
It's a privilege to be in the house of God and to feel this good covering that we feel today and know that God is on the throne. Praise the Lord. It's it calms us. It's a calming reality, if you will, or truth, when you recognize that God's on the throne. Sister Watson said, I live today because of Him. I'll live tomorrow because of Him. I'll live forever because of Him. And you know, a lot of people, they miss out on the blessings of the Lord because they don't recognize His power is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. They fail to realize that the good things in this life pale in comparison of what's to come. And so when the good things of this life go bad, you think it's all bad. And you get in your mind that, you know, that no good can come of this. And your mind will play tricks on you and it'll deceive you. You'll begin to question your faith. You'll question your convictions. You'll question your reality and the hope that lies within you. And, you know, I still think about Abraham. It says that he didn't faint. He staggered not. Thank you, Brother Daniels. He didn't stagger at the promises that God provided, that he would have seed as his children would be as the sand of the sea. And I'd like to reach a place in my life where I don't stagger. The Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen. And when He makes a promise, He'll keep it. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful Savior today. It's what makes Him our Savior. There's none greater than Him. If there was, we should serve Him. But there's not. There's none greater than Him. And you know, His blessings is He brings a peace that surpasses our understanding. It exceeds our comprehension. And that's why when He does bless us, it feels like a miracle. You know, when things go your way, it's an amazing experience. You know, when He bestows love upon your life and you feel a peace of mind come upon you, it just... It's like a refreshing wind, water to quench your thirsty soul, food to feed your hungry heart. When God blesses you and you know, causes something to happen in your life, it's just like heaven above just opened up and His light just shined right down on your life. And you feel special. You feel significant. You feel important. And you know, though, what is that song? That he looked ahead in time when He was on the cross. I was on His mind. You were on His mind. He looked ahead in time. He told us when He was praying, He said, Father, I pray not only for these, My disciples, but as many as hear their voice, as many as are far off. He took the time for us. I was thinking, today about the Scripture in Proverbs 17, should remember it. I don't think my memory's going. I think I've just got too much in there. You know, it is proven that people need to reboot every now and then. That's what, really, that is what vacation is about. There is something to be said about removing yourself from your circumstances for a few days to just, well, I won't go into that, but the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, I think it's Ecclesiastes 7:3 maybe, said, in the times of joy, rejoice. But in the times of adversity, consider. I should look that up here. See if I can. I should have looked that one up. Maybe somebody can help me find it. 7:14? Or yes, thank you. Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. And I was thinking even this morning about Jesus. He had a team with him, right? His disciples were his team, his crew that he worked with. You know, he wasn't their employer per se, but they worked with him. He counted on them. He relied upon them, you know, being steady on the job. Even Judas was on the job at times. And I was thinking about how that if you were going to put together a team, let's say you had a project and you were going to put together a team, you'd want to get as many people that were in alliance to your plan, your objective as you possibly could. You'd want, in fact, the truth be told, you'd want everybody to be on board, everybody pulling the load together, everybody working for the same cause. And so I was thinking about Jesus, and he told his Father, he said, I have kept them that thou hast given me, save Judas. And I thought, you know, if the God of heaven would give Jesus a man like Judas, then maybe a team that has, you know, that where everybody's in 100% agreement, maybe that's not such a good team. Because obviously it wasn't. Obviously, the best team for Jesus was to have a man like Judas and a man like Peter, whom he called Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan, his adversary. Perchance that maybe the best team for Jesus wasn't, you know, like, pardon the expression, I really don't like this expression, but as an illustration, maybe his best team wasn't yes men. Now, I'm not saying that Judas benefited from it. I wouldn't want to be Judas. I wouldn't want to be the Judas on a team. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to be that guy. But it strikes me as odd that when God aligned the men to work with Jesus, it was men that had contrasting attitudes or dispositions in their life. And the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17 that a brother is born for adversity. And a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, in my Bible, I have a note there. It says a brother is there for adversity. I like that. I like to use it that way. I do. You know, it's important to have your brothers with you in the time of need, Sister Watson. It's important for us to have our family, our support system. But I also recognize that there's times in our life that we have where a brother, perhaps, is, you know, a brother is there not to just tell us how great we are or how good things are, but to help us see maybe behind us. You know, you can't, if you didn't have a mirror, you couldn't, you know, if your shirt was untucked, I've done that before, get up and shirt be untucked, you know, hanging out your, you know, up from underneath your coat. You can't see what's going on behind you, but your brother can. I can't tell you how many times a friend of mine has straightened my tie. I don't know how many times. But he'll, if he, you know, hey, how you doing? Straighten my tie. And that's all right. I can't see it. You know? I need the help. I need the help. So a brother is there for adversity to support us, but a brother is also there to help us maybe see where we're missing it. In Proverbs 20:24, it says, a man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Well, it's difficult. It's difficult for us to see the error of our ways. It's difficult for us to walk circumspectly around us, around our lives, and see, you know, perhaps where we're missing it or where our frustration, the source of our frustration. I got home Wednesday night, a little ashamed to tell you about this. I mean, it's sort of. It's nothing I could have done to have changed it. But I got home Wednesday night, and there's a tax bill on my table. Delinquent real estate taxes. What is this? I shouldn't even told you. Brother Crafton, I didn't realize you were sitting there. That's a joke. It's a joke. Because I know where he lives. No. Well, long side of a short story. No, the short side of a long story is the tax assignment in the county has my name on one property, and so my mortgage company's been paying to it, and they hadn't been paying it to the property that I'm on. So it's, you know, several hundred dollars, nearly a couple thousand dollars, maybe that much by the time it's all said and done. Well, that's a punch in the gut, I tell you. You know, Wednesday night before church, I'm on the run. Everybody's tired and everybody's trying to get out the door. Was it raining Wednesday night? I don't remember if it was raining. I think it might have been. Anyway, it was just, it was Wednesday. Wonderful, wonderful, not so wonderful Wednesday sometimes. And so, Gladys and I get in the car and she's agitated because she don't understand why this is going on. You know, first thing you think about, delinquent taxes. Everybody knows, you know, you can go buy a property if somebody's delinquent on their taxes. And so that, you know, becomes something that people think about. This goes all the way back to 2006. How about that? That really made me nervous. So she gets in a car. I get in a car. We're headed to church. Well, next thing you know, we're adverse of each other. We're opposing each other because she's frustrated and I'm frustrated and she's looking stuff up and I'm driving and I'm trying to help her look stuff up while I'm driving. And so I'm, you know, how you do? And she gets nervous if I'm looking at her phone while I'm driving and she gets nervous if I'm looking at my phone while I'm driving. I don't blame her. I don't blame her a bit. But I get, you know, I'm trying to help her well, Google this and, you know, look up this Arkansas law, blah, 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 blah. And she's, you know, frustrated with me. And next thing I know, we're each other's adversary. We didn't even create the problem. The bank did. The mortgage company created the problem. Well, the Bible says that the faithful are the wounds of a friend. And, she, you know, I said something to her, and she gives me that look like, that really hurt. You know that look? You ever seen that look when you say something to somebody and their countenance just changes? You know, and you just realize, ooh, that probably did hurt. And I wasn't trying to hurt her feelings, and she wasn't trying to hurt mine, but it happens, don't it? It just happens. And so sometimes we have to consider, it says faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of an enemy is deceitful. Sometimes we have to consider that these things in our life that hurt, these wounds that maybe our friends provide, or this brother that was created for adversity, is necessary. Brother Durham, if I just told you everything's hunky-dory and you're great and you're going to heaven and that's all there is to it, well, Brother Durham may not ever change. He might not ever see that he, you know, a weakness or a failing is... If Brother Smith, when Brother Durham first met Brother Smith, and Brother Smith told Brother Durham, it's all good, you know, we're all going to heaven, once saved, always saved, and just laid it out like that, there wouldn't have been no change. But we know that there's got to be change. We know that, you know, like I just read that, how can a man know his way? Well, you can't. You can't know your way. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, says the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all, and who can know it? He said, well, I, the Lord, know the heart, and I try the ways. The Lord knows your heart. He knew Jesus' heart. That's what strikes me as odd, is he knew what was inside the heart of his son, and he put a man like Judas Iscariot right there to walk with him on a daily basis. Even Peter, you know, he wasn't a gunslinger, but he was a sword slinger. You know, Peter gets you in trouble. You know, have you ever been in a place where you're with somebody and they get you in trouble? You know, their mouth, you know, gets you in trouble? You're like, hey man, shut up. You know, you're not helping here. Be quiet. Well, Peter, he, you know, the soldiers come to take the Lord away, and old Peter, you know, he's the fastest sword slinger in the West, and he had it off his hip and cut that guy's ear off, just like that. Peter, Jesus said, hey, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're going to get me in trouble here. So it causes me to admire the Lord, to admire God's wisdom, in how he put Peter, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, here they were. They were jealous of a position. They you know, and I'm not trying to pick these men apart, but they all had failings. Everything, you know, I'm assuming, I obviously wasn't there and I didn't meet them, but it's recorded in the scriptures that they had failings in their life. These men wanted position. Who's going to sit at your right hand, on your left? They had aspirations in their life. It causes me to admire that God took those men and surrounded the Lord with those men in spite of their faults, in spite of their failings. Do you know, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves even here in this congregation, and we'll think of ourselves as being deficient or inadequate, or, you know, I'm not as good as so-and-so, or, you know, so-and-so can do this or do that. Let me tell you something. God called you here. He brought you here for a reason. And it's His desire for you to be a part. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that He let me come. You know, that He touched my heart one day and said, "Hey, come go along. We're going to do a good work. Come and go along." Now, there's going to be times in here where somebody may hurt your feelings, or there might be a scripture or a song or a testimony given that you know, maybe wounds you a little deep. Don't let it overthrow your faith. Sister Inez already told us. We live today because of Him. We'll live tomorrow because of Him. We'll live forever because of Him. Don't let a wound or a hurt spirit or somebody's words, don't let it overthrow your faith. Now, I'm here to tell you, there's power in words. We read in our Bible class today, over here in Proverbs, it says, the scripture says, talk about a soft bone. It's in Proverbs 27, I think. Hmm. 26 or 27. No, it's the word bone is what I'm looking for. Yes, thank you. Thank you, brother. For by long bearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. It just tells me, I was intrigued by it. And I, you know, I'm sure there's probably a number of explanations that could be applied to that scripture, but a soft tongue breaketh the bone. It could be a king's decree. It could be, you know, it could be a number of things. You know, kings could throw a man on a torture rack just by a spoken word. There's so much power in the words that we use. And I was thinking today, with, you know, the way we have kids, well, not just kids, adults, myself included, we present our thoughts. We share our thoughts with the whole world. We share them through instantly on all kinds of social media. And, you know, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's easier for us today to see maybe what makes somebody tick, or maybe what, you know, maybe how to push their buttons. It's easier for us today to recognize, you know, that there's certain things that people are passionate about. Gladys was telling me on the way home last night. She said, "Yeah, so-and-so, I've learned that you don't talk politics, you don't talk religion, and you don't talk about the Razorbacks." Yeah, there's hot buttons in their life that, you know, and the reason we know that is because, you know, the things that they post or the words that, you know, that said. Well, the truth of the matter is, I hope to get to a place in my life where I could talk about anything and not cause an offense. There's a scripture that says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin." And what that means is, you know, not sure why I quoted that in this relation, but what that means is if I'm accused of something, you take a child and say I'm a child and you accuse me of, you know, like that little video somebody posted, the kids all painted up with, you know, because they got paint all over the living room, and their daddies ask them, did you, you know, why'd you do that? I don't know. You know, it's just, they start making up, they just start, if you get in trouble, you'll start saying, you'll just start talking. I know a guy who got, I know of a guy who got, he's a lawyer in Washington, D.C. He's a criminal justice lawyer in Washington, D.C. So he's not just, you know, a real estate lawyer. He's a criminal justice lawyer in D.C. He has defended, you know, many cases. He was in a home that got raided. They were, and I'm not advocating this, but they were gambling. They had a poker game or something going on. This guy, he said, I couldn't shut up. You know, the first thing that everybody says is shut up. You know, if you ever get arrested, shut up. You have a right, how's your Miranda rights go? You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. First thing they always tell you to do is shut your mouth. This guy is a criminal justice attorney in D.C. The home he was in, they got busted for having a gambling game. I don't know all the details about it. I don't know if there's any criminal activity. But it just struck me. He said, it surprised me that I couldn't shut up. He said, I kept rambling and rambling. I was just trying to get out of there. Well, you know, you will say, if you get caught doing something wrong, if you're not careful, you'll just start talking. You just, you know, just start hoping that anything you say is that trigger to say, okay, you're gone, get out of here. You know, and kids will do that. They'll start making stuff up. That's why the Bible says that they're lying from their mother's womb, because they will. They'll tell all kinds of stories trying to get out of trouble. And anyway, I'm not sure why I said went into that particular verse, but the truth is we don't know our heart, and that's why we have our friends, our adversaries. I thought about, Brother Smith, I used your words the other day. Somebody said something to me. I said, well, so-and-so was complaining about blah, 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 blah. And I said, I know, I heard it. I said, but I just left it off, because I don't have time to worry about it. I didn't have time. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't satisfy them. I couldn't correct what they needed corrected. And I had bigger fish to fry. I wasn't trying to be insensitive, but I just had to. I just had to move on. You know, sometimes we just do. I thought, I really admired it pleases me to see the folks that we see, you know, in our midst. And I hope, my hope and prayer is that God would allow us to move on. That God would allow us to begin again. We have a lot of dear people in this town. And people that we're praying for, I know you guys are praying for. I know that. And people that are tuning into this congregation, people that are touching us, people that are visiting us. And it's my desire that, and I appreciate the leadership here that we've already seen, that we can move forward. Today, we're alive, we're living today because of the Lord. We'll be living tomorrow because of the Lord. This church will be going strong tomorrow, next year, next year. Years from now, because of Him. If God be for this church, and I'm not just talking about this building, but God's for this work. He's been working in this city in this regard since the 60s. God's for it. Who can be against it? I don't want to be against it. When you look at what happened to Peter, James, and John, they were able to make the adjustment. They were able to get the correction that they needed, but Judas didn't. I don't want to be like Judas. I don't want to be like that guy. I want to be like James and John. I want to be like Peter. I want to be like the ones that made the adjustment. Praise God. The sum of the whole is greater than the parts. The sum is greater than the parts. And we all have a role here to play. There's another scripture that I'll close with. And I realize maybe this is a little dry, but I want to encourage you that in the time of your adversity, consider. If your brother is your adversary, consider. If your sister is your adversary, consider. There's a reason. Don't cast them off. I don't want to cast off my adversary. If God's not through with them, I don't want to be through with them. I feel that way. I should tell you, on my job, I've been working and drawing a paycheck since I was a little kid. And I've worked now where I'm at longer than I've ever. I tease them at work. So I work for you. The man I work for, I said, I've worked for you longer than I've worked for anybody except for my mother. But I'll tell you, I really have had a lot of adversity. I mean, to the point where, you know, Johnny Paycheck moments. Hey, take it. You can have it. I'm done with it. I've told them that a couple times. Well, you know, it's easy to say. Sometimes it was real easy to say. But the Lord has helped me to recognize if, and I think maybe Brother Phil might have said this one day, if God gives you a job and He didn't take it away from you, you better think long and hard before you give that job up. If God gives you something, you better think long and hard before you give it up. If God gave you a job here in the church, out in the community, in your home, you better think long and hard. You better make sure that what he's given you, you're not just casting aside or giving it up. Because adversity will come. There's a scripture in Proverbs 24:16 that you all are familiar with. But it struck me, I read it a little different the other day, and I wanted to share it with you. It said, "For the just falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief." The just man falleth seven times. You know what that tells me? It said, the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That means he rose up seven times. The just man fell seven times, but he also got up seven times. The just man, that's what makes him just, is the fact that when he fell, he got up. Praise God. But it said the wicked fall. They fall. And they stay there. They fall into mischief and they don't get up again. If you feel like you're falling, if you feel like you're, you know, lower than a snake's belly, as they say, if you feel like that you're so low that, I think somebody said, Brother Brett gave us a good talk a few nights ago about how that David rose up and encouraged himself. Know this. Know that you're loved here. Know that you know, if you feel yourself in a time of adversity, Not everyone understands the burdens that you carry, and sometimes we do understand. Sometimes you don't know how to respond. Or sometimes we're carrying such a heavy load ourselves that, you know, Brother Daniels, you may be carrying a heavy load, and I'm carrying a heavy load. Brother Daniels may come walking by me, and I wonder, why isn't Brother Daniels helping me carry my load? Well, it's not because he's slighting me or trying to, you know, because he doesn't care. It may be that he's just got a heavy load. We're all workers together. We're all working together to build the house of the Lord. And what a great place, what a great setting we have to do that in. What a great band song that we had today. Give thanks. Let the poor say, I am strong. The poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Praise God. We're not strong. You know, I was telling the young ladies in class today, I said, you're not strong because you can, you know, flex your muscles. And they were joking about, you know, guys flexing their muscles with, you know, arms the size of pencils and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they joke about stuff like that. I said, you're not strong because of that. I said, but let me tell you something. Your words are strong. Your words are powerful. Your words can bring life or they can bring death. You can say one harsh word to somebody and almost instantly their expression will change. And you know it. Or you can say a kind word. The Bible says that words fitly spoken are like apples of gold. Pictures of silver. You can say that right word and just change somebody's outlook. If you feel yourself in a time of adversity or struggling, know this, that this church is your sanctuary. It's your refuge. It's where you can come to have no fear, but have faith. Praise God. We have a wonderful opportunity to go on with the Lord and to work together with Him. Workers, one with another. Praise God. I'm happy to be in the house of God today. Thank you.
standing. Dinner's ready, so we don't want to keep the cooks waiting very long or let the food get cold. If you want to get my wife against you, you just let her cook you a hot meal and say it's ready, and then you just set in your chair for a while. That, women don't like that. They want you to come when it's ready. You've been working in here getting this ready for you. But I want to tap on to what Brother Painter said. I appreciate his words today. But I just thought it's too good to let this go by. And you know, I just want to say, just read you this scripture and just comment real quick, and then we're going to go eat. In Proverbs 24, I want to back up to verse 15, where it says that a just man will fall seven times. But the verse before that says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. You know, you better be careful about messing with the righteous people. Don't lay wait looking, oh wicked man, looking for a way to come against the righteous of God. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and rise again. That seven times, it just means you come against one of God's people and they'll rise up. God's hands on them. He'll rise them up. You may knock them down, but he'll help them get back up. But the wicked, they'll fall in mischief. But then he adds a principle. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him. So there's a principle to have the right spirit. Even if we see our enemy fall or get knocked down, we better not rejoice in that, lest God sees that and sees we need a little correction about that. So we just have to leave that up to God, but we need to pray, you know, for our enemy. Brother Painter brought it out, how God gave Jesus Judas, and Jesus called him his friend and his guide. He realized he was even excelled him in some areas to be his guide in some areas. And the other men never knew that. They didn't know. Jesus must have treated him just like he treated the rest of them. He had the right spirit, even though he knew he was a devil. He knew he had the wrong spirit, but no doubt he was praying for him and not rejoicing in that he had the wrong spirit, but he wanted to see him have the right one. Amen. All right, let's give God a praise. Thank him for the food and the fellowship that we're about to partake downstairs. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for your goodness and your blessings. Bless this food and our time together and our fellowship. Your blessings, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, I hope everybody stays for dinner. I'm sure there's plenty for everyone. And then tonight is youth night. So we want to, God's always, 4 o'clock band practice. So, and then let me announce this in case, I don't think none of you would not come back tonight, but just in case something happens that you didn't make it, there will be no service next Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I always give, you know, the women off that night before Thanksgiving so you can finish up on those pecan pies and pumpkin pies and turkeys and dressings and all of that. All right, praise God. Let's go downstairs.